Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the College Ball Show returns. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything revolving around the world of college basketball. And obviously, we are knee-deep into March. You know, April is right around the corner. We had to do somewhat of an emergency show today. We didn't think we were going to have to rush it and kind of do it a little bit earlier than we thought today, but it is what it is, Marshall. Is on the road. He decided to go to one of his the sites that they, you know, a group of his friends go. So we'll talk to him in just a moment. But anyway, the College Ball Show returns. Obviously, we're going to start with just a review, kind of a quick summary review of the first two rounds from the weekend, Thursday to Sunday. Obviously, a variety of upsets. Some really tight closes, some really close calls, especially, you know, in the round of 32. So we're going to break it all down for you. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope It Up Radio. Okay. It's under the Rope It Up Radio podcast. It streams live and it archives right here. Okay. But you can also find the Rope It Up Radio podcast to listen to the College Ball Show at iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spricker, TuneIn, a whole lot of places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network that's growing and growing and growing. You can, you know, obviously listen to the College Ball Show under the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can find that on iTunes, Spricker, TuneIn. You can also stream it on iHeartRadio and stream it on Spotify. You can use TuneIn as well, or Alexi to get it on Spotify as well, just so you know. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. Thegruelingtruth.net, you could actually listen to the podcast right there as well. You can, read an article. There's, basketball, football, baseball, boxing articles. I do a weekly pick'em articles. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. And like I said, you can also place a bet. It'll link it right to mybookie.ag. Before we get into it, I got a really quick promo here. DirecTV Now, a limited time March Madness deal. Okay, there's no annual contract for the streaming service DirecTV Now. You can stream it anywhere: TV, phone, tablet. It has the cloud DVR. The plans start as low as $50 a month. And right now, if you get the Plus or Max, there's about four deals. If you get the Plus or the Max, that's kind of the beginner and I guess you could say the advanced. The Plus or Max includes HBO. So Game of Thrones is right around the corner, something to think about. But the first month is free. Now, this promo ends at the end of March. The promo code is March2019. That's March 2019. That is the promo code to get DirecTV Now for a free month. Like I said, it expires at of the month. So let's get into this, okay? The first weekend. Well, actually, let me just talk to my co-host real quick, see what's going on with him. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you?
I'm good, man. We've done shows from libraries,
field. Now we're doing an airport one. I was supposed to be actually home in Texas, but the flight got canceled due to maintenance or something. So I'm doing a show from an airport. I got about a half an hour to give you. So I was able to make my basketball annual trip. My softball games on Saturday got canceled, and once that happened, it was buy a ticket, fly down here, and make it happen. So well worth the late moment ticket purchase. It was fun to have 2 days of nonsense and watching basketball and drinking and almost seeing a team I hate lose, and God, it was so close yesterday to happen.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when you text me that you did end up going. I'm like, oh, he saw that game. Oh, my God. Real quick, we're just going to kind of summarize, because we have limited time. We're going to summarize the first weekend just in general. I'm going to kind of go through a couple of things here from the first couple of the first 2 days. The first day was pretty mild in the way of any kind of major upset. We did have some close calls, though. LSU and Yale, that was a very close call. Auburn and New Mexico State, that was a really, really close call. Wolford just kicked the crap out of Seton Hall. That was a kind of a surprise. Florida, who had actually had some good wins down the stretch, upended Nevada, who a lot of people thought they were going to be something. Close game for Villanova. They moved on. My Minnesota squad pretty much handled Louisville. Maryland snuck by Belmont. We did get Murray State over Marquette, and that was the biggest upset by far, especially how they did it. You know, Marquette just kind of stumbled down the stretch of this season, and Murray State was kind of on the up and up. So the first day, although there was some competitive games on Thursday, really just one upset, and it wasn't even a shocker. Now, when we go to Friday, that's when things got very, very, very interesting, whether it was tight games or whether it was a full-on upset. We had a lot more action. Buffalo actually handled ASU and then ultimately got handled. That was a little bit of a surprise. I thought that would be a tad tighter anyway. Obviously, Kansas State, that was kind of a shocker to me, getting upset on the first day as a 4 seed. That, to me, by California Irvine, that was pretty big. Oregon, Wisconsin, by the time this game tipped, Oregon was actually the favorite minorly. But the way they did it, 72-54, that's what kind of slapped me in the face. Obviously, Oregon had, you know, it was 12 against 13. They moved on. We'll talk about that. Iowa State, another one from the Big 12. That was, to me, very surprising. I thought Iowa State had a chance to make some noise or at least get to the next round. Oklahoma felt disrespected. They took care of Ole Miss. Liberty, here comes the upsets too. Liberty with a big, you know, we talked about Mississippi State and that 5 seed. It's like, oh, really, the 5 seed? Oh, so Mississippi State gets the 5 seed? And thank goodness Liberty, you know, grounded them very quickly. So real quick, give me some of your thoughts on this weekend or on the first, you know, two games. You know, it's crazy because the first day, like I said, pretty mild, some tight games, though. But as far as, you know, the upsets, then the upsets came. But overall, through the first round, no top 3 seed fell. And I also noticed, Marshall, the first 10 to maybe 15 minutes of the game, a lot of top-notch, high-level, have a chance to cut down the Nets teams, started out real sluggish and real slow. Sometimes you see that in the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but this seemed to, at halftime, in a lot of these games that involved the first, second, and third seed, especially Virginia and a couple of these other games here, you know, of course, things flipped around and it was fine. And like I said, none of them got beat. But it was a pretty much a sluggish start for that when it comes to a lot of these top teams. What'd you think of the first 2 days before we get to the round of 32?
Yeah, you know, I was hoping for a couple more upsets. I did think that slate on Thursday was pretty good, as you mentioned, the Auburn game. Belmont, Maryland was super close to the end. Michigan State, who I thought Izzo was going to pull a choke job again. They, Michigan State had their hands full, and they were down like 5 minutes ago, and they pulled it together. But yeah, North Carolina was down 5.5 as a one seed. I mean, I'm with you that I think a lot of times those teams who are higher seeds, they just kind of take things for granted and get an easy win. And you're playing schools who have nothing to lose at all, you know, and they're mid-major teams, and, you know, mentally you're probably not as focused. Carolina would care less about Iona compared to playing like a Duke or Florida State. So you go in a little half-assed. Next thing you know, you're down 5. All of a sudden, you got to wake back up again. So, yeah, kind of common theme there. I mean, there were some upsets. It wasn't a crazy day. There was no it was crazy to see that Auburn game where if he makes a couple of free throws, oh, my God, that would have been quite a kick to the tournament. But, yeah, I would say decent start, and we did call a couple of upsets. We called UC Irvine. I'm sad Iowa State lost. I bet that team, they keep breaking my heart every March Madness. They always play close games. They seem to lose a lot of them. So an unfortunate start for the Cyclones, who are now out. I was hoping they could be a Sweet 16 team at least. I talked about this year how they could win 3 in a row and lose 3 in a row, and it depended on which team showed up. And unfortunately, the losing team showed up, so that kind of sucked. But the Tar Heels are a lot of things. But, yeah, I think he summed up pretty well. And, again, I think it's a mental block. Sometimes the teams have to get over. But none of them screwed up too bad, Chris, to where they were already going home this weekend.
Yeah, and my Gophers definitely got a resounding win and then got resoundingly beat. But, yeah, that kind of sums it up. Like, none of the top three, lost, but there were some damn good games. So it was still entertaining basketball. And like I said, the second day, Friday, definitely delivered a lot more in the way of upsets anyway. As we go on to Saturday, it's funny because some of these teams that looked kind of so-so, kind of walking with cement boots on in the first round, all of a sudden said, yep, that's the team. That's the team that we know. Gonzaga beat Baylor 83-71. My squad, Minnesota, got whooped by Michigan State. It didn't help that Jordan Murphy, you know, left the game. He tried to give it a go. He hurt his back late in the game in round one, and he just couldn't give it a go. It sucks in his last college game that he couldn't play. Couldn't play in it. And obviously, the Gophers need their best player and one of the best players to ever play at Minnesota, especially legally. So that definitely sucked. But, you know, Michigan State, that's one of those teams that, like you said, just barely snuck by. Izzo damn near had to choke somebody on the sidelines to get that W. And, they bounced right back. So that was interesting. Winston really put that game out of reach. When, you know, the Gophers made a little bit of a run back, Kentucky and Wolford was a very, very good game. P.J. Washington, I don't know what's going on with him. They need him. They need him, obviously. If they don't have him, it's a complete different ball game. Michigan looked pretty damn good against Florida. Florida State just whooped Murray State 90-62. LSU and Maryland. LSU sneaks in a lay-in to finish it off. That was back and forth. Maryland actually was up kind of cleanly, you know, where you're like, they're going to win this game. And then LSU came storming back and vice versa. Maryland, you know, it was one of those back and forth games. Purdue, the way they closed was not a pretty sight. Really, the Gophers beat them twice, and they just didn't look good down the stretch. But they just walloped Villanova 87-61. I thought that would be good. And then Auburn bounced back from a sketchy start on Thursday to win 89-75 over Kansas. And Kansas is obviously out of the tournament. Oregon, just like I said, whooped on Irvine 73-54. Liberty hung with Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech ended up, you know, cleaning it out. Houston looked very dominant against Ohio State. So did Texas Tech against Buffalo. Tennessee, well, you know, Washington and North Carolina. Washington, you know, they hung in there not long. North Carolina pretty much handled them 81-59. They got off to a really good start. Washington did creep back in the game, but it really didn't matter. In the end, Virginia beat Oklahoma after that little bit of a scare as well in the first game that they had. But the games of the round, the games of yesterday, were obviously Duke and Central Florida. And no, not that Central Florida, where that game came down to the wire. And then Tennessee and Iowa in overtime. Tennessee finishes them off, but they were up by 25, 25 cruising into the Sweet 16 was Tennessee, and Iowa tried to make the biggest comeback by 25 points, ended up tying the game, but they just couldn't get it done in overtime. What were your thoughts of the round of 32? And that Duke and Central Florida game for Zion to go up against, you know, to get that bucket, missed the free throw, but then they, you know, got that layup. And for two shots that looked like, one of them looked like it was falling and it just fell off the damn rim. 77-76 Duke, and then Tennessee and Iowa too. What were your thoughts around 32? And then the fact that you got to be live for that Duke Central Florida game, that's pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah, I was happy, man. That game, that Duke game was so close. At first, I'm like, oh, hell, it's Central Florida. You know, they're a 12-point underdog. It's like, this ain't going to be a game. And you see Central Florida, I mean, from the start of the game, they were just in the whole – they were in the whole game. And they played with confidence. Coach made a change to where they put their center to guard Trey Jones, which is super smart because Trey Jones couldn't shoot threes. I mean, that strategy worked. They were making buckets. Duke was struggling. I mean, besides Zion, you know, he was carrying the team. Near the end there, you know, that call to Zion gets called with a block. It looks like a charge. I mean, yeah, there's – and that layup putback, it looks like it's going in. I mean, I was torn, man. I thought there was going to be a massive upset. It would have been cool to hear everyone freak out due to the brackets because the whole world has Duke winning this thing. They almost just fell to Central Florida, who's not really known as a basketball program. I really did think that layup putback with about 3 seconds to go was going in. That thing laid on the rim for a couple of seconds and seemed like frozen in time. Unfortunately, I bet that guy makes that shot 8 out of 10 times. Yes, it's Duke freaking luck that they won that game, but that was a hell of a game. Earlier yesterday, I was eating food near the ocean in Jacksonville, so I got a little spoiled there. But watching that Iowa Tennessee game, the first half, at halftime, I went and walked around for a little bit. I'm like, well, hell, this game's over. I'll walk around the side for a bit, and I'll find a new place to go watch Carolina Tennessee. And a buddy's like, hey, what's the score? I'm like, I was down 15, and I kept looking, and now it's getting down to 12, so I found a new place. And, man, Iowa, holy God, they did all they could, man. They had the ball. They actually could have gone up in the last seconds. Tennessee had a chance to win the last couple of seconds. They had Schofield had a three that rimmed out, went into overtime, and I think Tennessee, momentum back, Iowa was probably pretty well beat. I mean, to come back from that much. You know, your luck's got in there eventually, Chris. But that was a hell of a fun game. And that's the tough part about Tennessee. When they're hot, they're one of the best teams in the country, like top three. But they only have two great players. And I'm not sure a team can win a title with two great players and a team that lacks, like, on-ball defense. So that Tennessee-Purdue game, I mean, Tennessee, can they for a 20-minute half, they can play with anyone in the country and smoke them. But can they play complete games? It goes to show it's not always the case. They almost blew it. They're such a hot and cold team. It's just they're hot when it's on. Chris is could be legit best in the country. It's just can they do that for four more games? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And that Central Florida, they didn't have a great, you know, run or anything this year. Like you said, they're not known for basketball, but they did beat Houston and Cincinnati down the stretch. It was just kind of an eye-opener the way they proceeded to lose back-to-back games before the end of the season. I think they lost their last regular season game and then got upended really quick in that AAC tournament. So kind of strange there. But, yeah, man, the matchups here starting Thursday are pretty damn good. You got on Thursday Florida State, Gonzaga, Purdue, Tennessee, Texas Tech, Michigan, and – Virginia against Oregon. So let's get into some of this here. We were just right there. You were just against number three seeds, Tennessee and Purdue. You know, this one is pretty much a 50-50. In fact, Tennessee's favored by a point, but according to ESPN Basketball Power Index, Marshall, 50.7 in favor of Purdue compared to Tennessee with the 49.3. You know, Purdue looked like just kind of a team that had been figured out. I guess only the Gophers can figure them out. It was really kind of crazy, but they didn't, considering they had a chance to close out this season to be sole champions of Big Ten, and they screwed that up. And then they also screwed up, you know, their first game against the Gophers, and they just kind of stumbled their way in. But here they are, Sweet 16, just, you know, like 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, we would have thought this, the same thing then when they were trying to wrap it up. How's this one break down, man? What do you see here? Obviously, the only problem with Purdue is their production out of their big men, and can they keep them out of foul problems? And then obviously they ride and die with Edwards, man, to an extent where it's pretty vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Purdue team that I just said is hot for a game, they're going to beat if the Tennessee team is hot enough for a full game, I think they can beat Purdue. It's just the lulls of when Schofield or Williams aren't scoring, their team is an average team at best. So I think that they'll be able to run them down the court. I think they get their buckets. It's just, are they going to be able to sustain it? I think from, as you mentioned, Purdue this year has shown lots of signs of vulnerability after the starting off so hot in the year. So I would bet Tennessee. I think they got the pieces to get it done, but you've seen the side effect now of almost blowing a 25-point lead to Iowa. So maybe, I guess I'm a little bit biased. I guess I'd like cheering for this Tennessee team. But I do think that their version of what team they can be is good enough. And also, they're probably not going to take the foot off the gas pedal either after what they did versus Iowa. You know, in the back of your head, you're like, holy shit, guys, we almost just blew a 25-point lead. If we get up this game, let's make sure it stays double digits and we don't have to, you know, all of a sudden go from being up 20 to being in tight games. Maybe the mental mindset's a little more focused too, but I'll take Tennessee to win, and I would definitely bet it with the -1.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'm in favor of Tennessee too. The fact that they were able to build that big of a lead tells you just what kind of squad they can be, like you said. But that game was a nutshell to where they had lapses, and obviously major lapses this time, and Iowa almost came back. But Iowa's kind of that, it was just pretty good this year, but they never quite got over the hump of being like a top four team in the Big Ten or whatever. But yeah, I'm going Tennessee as well. Florida State in Gonzaga. It's crazy, man. According to ESPN's, you know, Basketball Power Index, by far your favorite index to check out, 86.4%. for Gonzaga to beat Florida State. Is this just a bad matchup? Because you wouldn't think that it would be that wide of a gap, 7.5 in Vegas given to Gonzaga.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Florida State had a pretty damn good season. They won. They had like a 7-game winning streak in the ACC. I don't think there are any athletic caliber behind Gonzaga. They maybe don't have the basketball players Gonzaga does, but I don't think this game is a blowout by any means. I think Florida State is going to be able to have a call. I'm not sure if they'll be able to get the scoring, but no, I don't think this game. I think that the BPI index is a little over the top of Gonzaga, especially considering Florida State beat them a couple of years ago. I don't know. I expect that to be a pretty fun, entertaining game to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, what's your pick?
I'll take Florida State. I think that Gonzaga's had a decent run the last couple of years of making a Final Four, making a close. But I think that Leonard Hamilton pulls off an upset, and I think that Florida State gets it done. So I'll take the Seminoles.
That's funny. I really thought we were going to be on the opposite side potentially, but I'm going with Florida State too. I just think, like you said, the way they closed, the experience they got on their club, I think it's going to be a really good game. I'm picking Virginia over Oregon, and I'm picking Texas Tech over Michigan. That's going to be a great game. I wouldn't doubt if it went overtime. Obviously, it's like if Texas Tech shows up somewhat on offense, I feel like they can win, but it is a big if, because once Michigan, they got good defense too, but it seems like, you know, even though they're not shooting threes like they have in the past, under their you know, the program they've had in the last 7 years or whatever, so they're not as good as shooters as we're accustomed to. Now they got shooters, but as a team, They don't have four guys on the floor or three guys that could hit them all the time. What do you say about these two games? I got Virginia, and I'm going Texas Tech, feeling like they're going to kind of put it all together for this one and kind of show what we thought at times during this season, what type of club this team could be.
I'll take Virginia, but I'll take Michigan. I guess I'm a little bit too nervous with those moments where Texas Tech didn't score when they had to. Obviously, Michigan's known for their defense. It's been pretty damn strong this year. I think in the clutch moments of the game, I think that Michigan will be able to prevail. Part of it's just experience. Just having a coach, the team's been there. This is a little bit of a newer thing for Texas Tech. So I'll take the Wolverines. I'll take Virginia, too.
North Carolina against Auburn. How do you see this one breaking down? Auburn, as we know, closed very well this season. And if it wasn't for some injuries, they could have been even a higher seed and been even more competitive during the regular season in the SEC. Do they got enough to take over your boys? Or what do you think on this one, man?
I think this game's going to be a trap. I think Auburn wants to run up and down the court. They led the SEC in three-pointers this year. I think they actually had the most three-pointers in SEC history. Or I know they're for sure the most in team history, but they're going to chuck it. So as long as we can hit our threes somewhat, I think we'll win. I think we're an overall better team. But if Auburn hits the threes like they did against Tennessee in that SEC title game, we better have our shit together because Auburn, they make it hot. They're a pretty better than us. So I just think we have to run them down, play our game, kill them on the boards. I think we'll be okay. But that's definitely a matchup situation where it's going to be kind of like first team to score 85 points is going to win. Normally Carolina runs teams out the gym pretty easily. This team, I think, will want to run with us. So I hope Auburn's three players are a little bit colder than normal.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is going to win. But, man, Auburn has really been on a tear lately. I think that one comes down to the wire. Virginia Tech and Duke met during the regular season. They know each other, obviously, being in the ACC for so long. Is this where Duke – I feel like to have a handful of days with Coach K, they're going to figure something out and be able to get by this Virginia Tech team who really relies on the three probably too much. But that's why they're here, and that's also why they're dangerous.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, you get your wake-up call. I mean, normally in every team's run to the Final Four, especially in the top seed, you have one of those oh-shit games where, you blow it, and you're like, oh, God, we better find a way to win this game. And I think they had that moment last game. I think this team, unfortunately, with Zion is too good. They'll recover. They've played Vodtech. It won't be an unfamiliarity. They won't out-scheme them or do something different. At least I don't think they will. So, unfortunately, I think Duke will rebound from this game. I think they'll be able to rebound, unfortunately. I think they'll be able to win, and I pray to God I'm wrong.
And obviously, he's saying unfortunately because he's a Tar Heel fan. I think you're dead on. Every championship team, if in fact they win it, which, we don't know, obviously, but they always have that tight game. Let's see if that was that tight game, but I believe they will bounce back, and I think that they're going to win pretty cleanly as well. Now, the last two games, Michigan State and LSU, this one on paper is a 50-50, but without, just what's going on with LSU internally, and it's really tough for me to pick LSU right now, even though this year I think they're just as good as Michigan State. I think, Izzo is finally going to get, to the Elite Eight, possibly, obviously, maybe the whole, to the Final Four. But once you're in the Sweet 16, Izzo's a tough out in the Sweet 16 once he's here. Last 3 years they haven't made it here. What do you think about this one? Because like I said, if it was a handful of weeks ago, I might pick LSU. Both these teams were strong down the stretch and just overall this season.
Yeah, I'm going to take Sparty. I mean, they swept Michigan. They got the coach. LSU's coach is in a whole different situation. He's still complaining, wants to be part of the team. That drama obviously does you no good at all. I'm taking Michigan State. I think that there's moments where LSU has shown that they're kind of more of a regular team. I think their ceiling is as high as everyone else's. I just think that they've been going through a little bit too much on the sidelines. and they have not quite maybe been as focused. And like you said, having a coach out, that hurts. Like, he's drawing plays, he knows the subbing. I mean, it's just a factor you really can't replace yet. And you're going against a coach who's one of the best coaches of all time. So I think in a game where it's pretty competitive, I'll take the team with just as good of players and a coach who's on the sidelines who's been there before. LSU is a little different. Sorry, they haven't been this deep or this respected in a long time. So I'll take Sparty for the win against I'll take Sparty for the win against the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you right there too. I think for a lot of the reasons, just the coaching in general, it's tough to get by that when a guy is. I don't know. There's internal stuff. There's also, hey man, you won the SEC regular season, or did you? Is this stuff really counting? And in the back of your head, you haven't even. Usually the year's over, and then that stuff comes up. So you kind of felt the whole process. Now it's just kind of like, and then in game. You know, play calling. That's huge for a coach. And obviously this guy's a pretty good young coach. So we'll see, though, if he's going to be, you know, why he got these recruits and why they're so good so quick. But I'm going with Sparty as well. And now the crapshoot. Now, Houston has a couple of nice wins in the – I guess Oregon would be one of them. Nice wins in the non-conference. They beat Cincinnati. They beat Central Florida. They beat some teams there. They're a pretty good club. For me, this one really comes down to P.J. Washington, which I think he'll be healthy enough to go. I think they took a risk, a calculated risk, and got by this weekend. I do think Washington's going to be back. That's just my gut feeling. But if he's not back, it's a toss-up, dude. And it's going to be a good game either way. But I'm going to pick Kentucky thinking that P.J. will be back.
I'm taking Houston. I think that as good of a defense as they played this year, I think it'll be a hell of a fun game. I know it's definitely an upset pick with Calipari and Kentucky. I'm just going a little bit outside the box. I think Houston continues a magical run. And that also gives my Carolina boys an easier game. I'd rather much rather play Houston than play Kentucky. I do not want to play Kentucky. So there's a little bit of a bias in that pick. But I'll go with Houston, the Houston Cougars, to upset Kentucky. And that's a little bit easier path for my boys to go back home to your backyard and my family's backyard in Minneapolis so the Cardinals can be in the Final Four. But, I'm taking Houston to win. I think it should be a fun game. I heard his back's kind of messed. Who knows? If he doesn't play, I'm with you. That makes life even more tougher. Some of the Kentucky fans I talked to said he was pretty hurt. So who knows what health status will change in the next 4 to 5 days. That's hard for us to predict, my friend.
Yeah, and that's why this next pick is even harder for me, not for you. You're going to pick North Carolina over Houston in the next round to go, you know, to qualify for the Final Four. I think that too, North Carolina. But if P.J. Washington's there, I'll go Kentucky. Otherwise, I'll go North Carolina. But if he plays in the game and he looks like he can move at least, I'm going with Kentucky. North Carolina, Kentucky. Down the stretch, that should be a fun one if, in fact, it happens. But we'll see because, you know, it's a calculated risk, and maybe that's why Coach Cal said, screw it. I'm just going to try to make the risk. I'm just going to – I need him for next weekend, and it'll be that much better for him to have that much time off. Did you mention a back? Because, you know, we've heard about the ankle and the foot and the boot on the foot, but did you mention a back injury too?
It's been a long day. I might have named the wrong body part.
That's cool. Okay, just making sure.
I know the Kentucky guy said he was pretty roughed up, so I think I backed my head for some reason, but yeah. So
He must have been, because it's the NCAA tournament in the second round. You know, you're going to play the guy if he can play, that's for sure. So obviously, you're going North Carolina. That's kind of given, right? So we have Duke in Michigan State. Is Michigan State going to get back to the Final Four, or is the Dukies going to get there and keep the Zion camera going?
I'm taking Sparty. Sparty's going to get it done. I have a faith that Coach K is going to go home, and Sparty's going to walk into Minneapolis.
That's funny. Just because right now, when they have 77 points and the guy has 33 – not long ago, there was something like that, too, where you're like, dude, that's a lot of points. He needs some help, guys, and we knew three-point shooting was going to be an issue. I'm going Sparty too. I think they're just an all-around college team, and they're better than the team they were last year, even though they had that much more talent. R.J. Barrett, paging R.J. Barrett. Where are you? If people were talking about Tracy McGrady with you, maybe you just can't move that well without the ball. And when you get the ball in your hands in the NBA, you're going to show how damn good you are, because you showed a ton of flashes. Well, I shouldn't say flashes, because he's one of the best scorers in the ACC history, actually. But to me, you got to stand up, and this is the time. But for some, I just think Michigan State's going to get that done. We have Florida State, and you have Michigan. I have Texas Tech. I'm going Florida State. Screw it. I'm going, you know, I've already picked Texas Tech, so I feel like I'm going somehow, some way, I'm going Florida State. Screw it. This will be the time they finally get through. Do you think Michigan or Florida State?
I'm taking Michigan. I think the Wolverines make the Final Four again this year. I think they're able to get it done with their defense and tough year they had. I'll take the Wolverines to get to the Final Four.
I would take that pick too, but I picked Texas Tech, and I think that that's a different matchup with Florida State. But yeah, I think Michigan would be able to beat Florida State. It just the different reasons, because you know they just have better offense. That's why that Texas Tech Michigan game. I'm really looking forward to that. All right, so we both have Tennessee, right? Tennessee and Virginia.
Yes.
What happens here, man? Does Virginia finally get to the Final Four and make some noise in the postseason with this tremendous success they've had in the last 3-4 seasons during the regular season?
I'm taking Tennessee. I've been riding with them all year. I'll take Rocky Top. I think they'll find a way to somehow defeat Virginia. So I'll go Tennessee. I'll take that pick out of my airplane here soon. I'll go Rocky Top. I'll stick with it. I hope they do. I don't want to see Virginia win a title. Screw them.
You take it easy. Thanks for, making this work.
I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, go Tar Heels. Go Tar Heels. I can't wait to recap the future weekend we're about to see with you, my friend. Take care, brother.
Yep, later. All right, we were able to get that done. And by the way, my pick, what is my pick? I'm going to say that, I'm going to say Virginia finally breaks through. Virginia, you know, they've only lost, well, they did lose three times this year, didn't they? But they lost to Florida State and Duke twice. I'm going Virginia to beat Tennessee. That's what I'm doing. So anyway, we'll be back. We will be back next week, probably on a Monday, more than likely, to break down what happened with the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games, and then look forward to the Final Four. And there is, at least, which was described to me by the owner and founder of thegruelingtruth.net, Mike. I just talked to Mike yesterday, and he said, hey, you got about a 50-50 chance of covering the Final Four in Minneapolis, where I'm currently, you know, I've been here most of my life. Well, not just Minneapolis, but Minnesota. So he said I got a 50-50 chance to cover the Final Four for thegruelingtruth.net. That would be phenomenal. Now, I got my fingers crossed. I'm a realist. You know, it's a lottery system. I think there's tiers to the lottery, and obviously thegruelingtruth.net, the amount of hits and listens they get is damn impressive, and that's the reason why they're even in the lotto, that it's a 50-50 anyway, because of the strength of thegruelingtruth.net. Once again, head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. You can listen to a podcast. You can read an article, whether it's something current, whether it's something in the past, with basketball, football, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And also subscribe to the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker. You can check it out on iHeartRadio. You can stream it on Spotify. The College Ball Show is there. We also do, a local basketball show called Living in Loserville. That's the Gophers and the Timberwolves. Check out thegruelingtruth.net. Real quick, one more time, with that DirecTV Now promo. So if you've already cut the cord, or you're thinking about cutting the cord, you're looking at your cable bill and you're like, what the hell am I just throwing money out of the window for? Even if you got the money, it's still like, you know, what's the, I could put it someplace else. I got an offer for you here. It ends at the end of March. So we're talking, what, 6 days, something like that, expires. It's a March Madness, I believe, / Game of Thrones deal, and HBO's included in some of this. It's a limited time offer, like I said. DirecTV Now, there's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere and everywhere on your smart TV, on your phone, iPhone, whatever, your smartphone, I should say, your tablet. It has the cloud DVR. The plans start at as low as $50 a month. And if you get the plus or the max, I think there's four tiers to the pricing. And the plus and the max are the one and two tier. Gets more, you know, as you get more channels. But that will include HBO. So that's why I say it's kind of a Game of Thrones, with Game of Thrones starting in like 3 weeks. It's kind of a Game of Thrones type vibe to it, too. That's the plus or max deal. Check out the DirecTV right now. You can get a free month trial. You can try it for free. Promo code is March2019, okay? So March 2019, that's the promo code to put in, and you'll get the first month free. Check it out, all right? And by the way, for those who do follow boxing, $11 for Showtime. So you can add that too. You have HBO and Showtime, yada, yada, yada. That's about it, man. We're going to wrap it up here for the College Ball Show. Like I said, we'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in, and let's hope we get some crazy, crazy competitive games. And I believe Mike said he's covering – did he say Louisville? He's covering the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, because he already covered it in the first region that he covered too. So anyway, let's hope. I'm crossing my fingers that I can cover the Final Four. That would be crazy. But anyway, that's about it. We'll be back next week. Peace.